step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
And the usual song opens us up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's Beards on MMA. I'm Pro Matt, and tonight we welcome back our old friend, no pun intended, Michelle Old. After a lengthy layoff, she is back in Invicta. We're going to catch up with her and see what's going on in her world, and I'm sure we'll get a few F-bombs with her and Jordan along the way. Just a few. You might as well start us off, Jordan.
Fuck. I forgot my computer password, so fuck.
That's two. We got about 745 left to go. It is time for ProMat Sponsor Corner. Downloads of all Beards on MMA shows available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Blog Talk Radio, including all of our previous episodes from before. We also welcome back the Mod Cabin, Backwoods Beauty Products for Bearded Men, always available at themodcabin.com, all one word, all lowercase, and on Twitter, at themodcabin. Follow Beards on MMA on Twitter at Beards on MMA. Find us on Facebook under our show's name. We're always looking for new sponsors, so hit us up on social media and get in touch from there. In addition to Michelle later on, we're going to talk about Bellator's British invasion, which unfortunately got a little bit more American this morning due to injuries. We're going to talk about the upcoming UFC 184. I'm going to ask our host's thoughts on a few things, especially around Holly Holm. She's a huge favorite right now over Raquel Pennington, and I'm going to try and gather everybody's thoughts once we get to that point to see if that hype is worth it or if it's a little overblown, because if you follow me on Twitter, earlier on I was saying that I don't think that there's been a debut that's had this high of a disparity in the betting odds since Mirko Krokop and Eddie Sanchez, which is all the way back at UFC 67. Anyway, let's do it in the meantime. Let's welcome on Cutman Matt and Jordan. Guys, as you can tell, I'm got a little bit of a cold. I got the Phoebe Buffay sexy phlegm thing going on, so I'm either going to sound a little bit more Canadian or else you won't understand what the hell I'm saying half the time. But what's going down, guys?
I'm not trying to big league anybody here.
Oh.
But if you get a sponsor corner, I want a corner too.
All right.
Oh.
Jordan's F-bomb corner.
I own a suede couch now. I upgraded to a suede couch. If that doesn't scream I need a corner, I don't know what does.
Big timing. Actually, you know what I was thinking was you were naming off all the sponsors, and I love all our sponsors, but I was like, why can't we get Jack Daniels as a sponsor? I mean, that's really what I want. Come on, guys. I mean, that's really if you want me to stay on the show, we need a liquor sponsor.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised we don't have a liquor sponsor and we don't have like a steak sponsor. You know, all the manliest things. We do have beard grooming products. We did have coffee at one point. I haven't spoken to Coffee Direct. I'm sure that they wouldn't mind coming back. I got to get on that. But like in terms of a meat sponsor and in terms of like liquor, you know.
I think they're shunned, but
you know, I actually. I was working a Bellator show down, fuck if I remember where, Tennessee, I think it was. And so that makes sense. Actually, it was in Mississippi. It was one of those things we're going to call it Memphis, but it's really going to be right across the state line in Mississippi with a cooler athletic commission. You know how that goes with Bellator sometimes. And I noticed one of the fighters actually had Jack Daniels as a sponsor, and I was like, how the fuck did you get that? And he's like, oh, my dad's friends with the CEO. They go hunting every weekend. And I was
wow.
like, you've got to give me an email. Not a number, just give me an email address. And he just looked at me and he was like, nope.
Nope.
Don't fuck yourself.
Well, we'll keep working on him. Do we want to name this guy or do we want to let him go?
No, I'll be nice. He won his fight, though. I'll say that. He was one of the winners at one of our cards. It was a pay-per-view. And he was on the undercard.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on from there.
Moving on, yeah. So before we actually talk about, MMA for the four or five minutes that we actually do it each week, you guys hear the Trailer Park Boys Season 9, Netflix, March 27th.
Oh, I just watched the preview. It's an old folks home. I can't believe it. Because it reminds me, I'm like, oh, they didn't change the trailer park. They just moved to Florida. That's all that happened.
Having ties to the trailer park community, I received the monthly newsletter. There are quite a few old people that live in trailer parks.
Oh, I mean, actually, I didn't realize this, but you know, because there's a trailer park, it's just at the end of my street here, and somebody told me the other day, they're like, that's actually what started this entire neighborhood. They're like, it's all houses and condos now, but that trailer park before that. It's just empty land. The trailer park started everything. And I was like, oh, shit. Still going strong. That's a dope trailer park, though. They have boat docks, and they have their own park and private launch and everything. It's actually pretty nice.
That sounds classy. Like, our trailer park's like a convenience store. Like, you can get moonshine. You can get goat meat. You can get guns. You can get stolen bikes. There's tons of stuff you can get, but we don't have a boat dock.
Well, you suck. Sorry. You have all that other cool shit. If you don't have a boat dock.
uh,
So is this trailer park down the road from you guys with the boat dock and all that, is it just like a retirement community sort of thing where like the snowbirders come and live? Because you do live in a snowbird town, right?
I live in a snowbird town for sure. No, this trailer park is year-round. There's all ages in there. And they actually do this really cool thing. It's like Christmas Lane and the entire trailer park. And there's probably, I don't know, 500 trailers in there. I mean, it's very large. And they're all basically, if they want to live in there, they have to agree to be a part of this Christmas thing. And they all decorate their trailers in their yards, and you drive through. And it takes like 15 minutes to drive through. But there's lines miles long. And I had heard that, like, I don't know, it's like 2 years ago that they were like, listen, this is really sending everybody's power bill to the stratosphere. We don't really want to do it. And the town of Leesburg, where I live, actually came up to them and was like, you've got to do this. You can't stop. It's like part of the town now. And I was like, that's kind of cool, you know, because I grew up in a trailer park myself. And I was just like, that's kind of cool that there's a trailer park, at least down here in Florida, that gets that much respect, that the town's like, keep doing what you're doing. We like you guys. Keep on doing that.
Oh, that's pretty cool then.
I just put in some Mod Cabin beard oil.
Oh, I can smell it.
Ridge Runner grooming oil.
I was gonna say Ridge Runner. I told you I could smell it.
I'm a Ridge Runner guy.
I'm a Ridge Runner guy too. And you know what? Mod Cabin told me that was his least. That, you know, Chris, one of the owners, told me, he goes, that's my least favorite scent. He goes, by far, it's our most popular scent. And I was like, well, thank God for Corey then, because you would have fucked that all up.
That is right. Hi, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
I'm not saying it's the Mod Cabin grooming oil, but my beard looks like a lion's mane right now. I'm actually looking at it in the mirror, stroking it. God's honest truth. And I'm quite impressed.
Have you measured your beard lately? Like, do you know how long it is? I think we were just talking about this last show, weren't we?
Past my nipples.
All right.
That's my gauge.
Because I was just thinking, you're going to be no longer the guy on the show with the longest beard. Considering we've got Mike Beltran coming on the show in the next little while here. I just spoke with Mike a couple days ago. He's definitely in, but we got to work out a couple scheduling kinks, and we'll see if we can get him on in the next week or two here.
I defer. That's the granddaddy
dude, that
there.
That dude's beard is the great. Yeah. You know what? I was out shopping for some birthday party supplies for my daughter because she's about to turn one the other day, and I saw this wall of St. Patrick's Day stuff, and they had the St. Patrick's Day hat with these two red braids that just sort of came out the side. I was considering buying it and fashioning it into an official Mike Beltran beard just for that night.
I feel like that's wrong.
Okay. We don't.
I don't know.
No?
I couldn't. I can't. I don't know.
I have to admit, when I met Mike, I did have a little bit of beard envy, knowing that anything I grow will probably never be that long.
I'm going for it. I'm gonna see how long. I mean, of course, I say that now, but in a few months, I'll be actually looking for a real job. Hi, Nathan Adams Construction. But I'm gonna be looking for a more professional job. And my teacher's already busting my beard. Hey, there you go. Quit busting my beard.
There you go. Yeah.
Busting balls to cut my beard.
Mm.
And I told him to go back to Canada. So.
Ouch. All right.
Yeah, I'm past nipples. Past nipples.
Mike,
so Matt,
are you gonna cause
controversy? Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're gonna talk about Dubois' beard. Again, you're obsessed with Dubois' beard, I think, a little bit.
Beltran. Beltran, yeah.
Beltran? Oh, even better. I'm sorry, I stepped away for just 1 second, and I got the wrong fucking mic when we came in here.
Dubois?
My phone
Dubois
blew up.
Beard.
You know, in the last 5 seconds, I got 4 texts and 2 phone calls, and I was like, all right, I need to mute this shit and take care of apparently whatever emergency is going on. And that emergency was, do we need gallon Ziploc bags at Bellator 134? The answer is yes, by the way. We do need those.
Breaking news on Beards on MMA.
Yeah,
that's
Bellator
right.
uses gallons of
Bellator
block
uses gallons of block bags.
Is this what it feels like to be an insider?
Yeah, you get exciting. Like, people think it's like it's all like shit about like Fedor or Tito Ortiz, and it's like, hey man, what size plastic bags do we use? Is anybody going to go to Walmart and get towels and Velcro? So that's the exciting life of a corporate insider at Bellator.
I feel like my life is more enriched already.
I know mine is.
So, buddy, I just got to say this before we start talking about the Bellator card on Friday. A buddy of mine really got me excited for a minute here because he was talking about the fact that Journey's touring with Steve Perry. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I didn't know that.
I'm looking at this and he goes, and I said, I'm like, dude, you know, Steve Perry hasn't been with the band since like, you know, 1987, right? He's like, yeah, well, I looked it up. I'm doing some touring in the States as Journey with Steve Perry this month and with the Steve Miller Band and Tower of Power. And I'm pretty sure something's wrong here. Like, I'm pretty sure they're not.
I knew that Journey was touring with the Steve Miller Band, but I didn't realize it was Journey with Steve Perry.
I'm pretty sure it's not. I can't find any information that says it's with Steve Perry. So, Kevin, if you're listening to the show, I think you're wrong and screw you for getting me excited. Yeah.
No, I actually saw an interview with what did you find it? Is it real?
No, March 6, 2015, Thackerville, Oklahoma at the Windstar World Casino. It's sold out.
Yeah, we usually do sell that one out. That is a good crowd. And I'll tell you what, the Windstar World Casino is, first of all, it's huge. It's honestly like the largest casino in the world. It's them and one other casino in the Middle East keep going back and forth. But it's the same guy that developed the Venetian. And anyway, so they get a ton of the crowd from Dallas in. And, you know, during the week I'm walking around Thackerville and I'm like, okay, this is your average Wednesday casino crowd. But you wouldn't believe Thackerville, Oklahoma turns it up on a Friday night. I mean, after the show, I mean, there are things happening in that hotel. I'm like, if I close my eyes, I'm pretty sure I'm in Vegas right now. You know? So other than the bartender, I will say this, and if anybody from Thackerville is listening, your bartenders are assholes, okay, because this happened to me twice now. All right, it's been like 1:45, okay, and we all know the bars close at 2 around there. I go up, you know, trying to, you know, get that last drink in. Oh, no, we did last call at 1:30. Well, first of all, last call is supposed to be, you know, at when the bar closes, not a half an hour before you cut me off. And second of all, I said, I didn't hear anybody call last call. And they go, well, we don't call it out loud because then we get a rush to the bar. And I'm like, that's the fucking point, asshole. So that we can all rush you and order doubles. And you make like 10% of your money in that 20-minute span. But that's twice now. So it's something they're taught. It's not something that one asshole, bartender did one time. So that's my only negative about Thackerville. They turn it up. They party their faces off. They're great fans. They're loud fans, but their bartenders are assholes.
So that's another $20 tip towards our buddy there at the Venetian, right?
Yes, exactly.
I can never remember his name. I can only remember him holding on to the beer taps and dancing for his life. Like, I just, I'll never
Lou.
Get that at Lou. Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask you this next week again, right? When we bring up shitty bartenders and I bring up Lou, the best bartender in the world.
He is. I wish I knew his last name so I could like write a letter or some shit, you know, but
yeah, dear Venetian.
Yeah.
Let's start
your
from
bartender
there.
Lou is awesome. Yeah. Please send him to my house.
You guys sound like you went to a really, really sketchy bar.
You know what? If we did, it was Fighters Only's fault because they're the ones that sent us there. So Fighters Only magazine, you know, look at the image you're putting out there.
Considering it was the bar tied to the amphitheater there, I don't know.
We'll blame him anyway.
That's right. That guy, you know what? That guy could have been Rock of Ages right by himself. He could have been one of the people in Rock of Ages for sure. Yeah.
I don't know if we told the people that. I kind of got Matt to go see Rock of Ages, and yes, we were two dudes, you know, going to a musical in Vegas together. All right, but we don't care because we're committed to 80s rock. Okay, that's what we do, and we were a little drunk. And that's what happens when you're committed to 80s rock and a little drunk. You see a musical in Vegas with your good male friend.
Listen to me. I feel like more and more of this story is going to come out throughout the weeks. And by, like, show 8 or 9, it's going to turn into, like, hey.
Like how Matt got married to a prostitute.
Right.
Like The Simpsons. Remember that time in Vegas where you got really, really cold, so we shared my Snuggie, and I feel like that's where it's headed.
It could.
And I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just a little jealous I wasn't there.
You had your chance, buddy.
You did.
Yeah. I think Vegas would have been a train wreck for me.
It was for us.
You know one thing I noticed that night? We may have been the youngest people in the theater there, and I feel like we were the only ones that were really singing along with the music. Because it was a damn good soundtrack.
I mean, there was one really drunk guy behind us, but I was more concerned that he was going to go flying headfirst over the railing and fall two stories. You know, but he was, you know, after, you know, I was sitting there, and that's actually what really pissed me off about that usher that, like, yelled at me for taking pictures with my camera at the end. Was I was like, so this guy behind me was yelling and screaming obscenities the entire show, and you didn't bother with him, but I pull out my phone to take a picture of the cast bow, and you jump on me like you're about to kick me out of the last 30 seconds of the show. I was like, I don't think I look more friendly than that guy, so I'm not entirely sure what's going on here. Yeah, Matt was looking at me when that happened, like, I don't know this guy. The fuck is this guy taking pictures? I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
We had a seat between us.
Well, I think I was more surprised at the fact that the lady came up to you and was like, oh, you can't take pictures and you can't take this. And you're like, it's the end of the show. And I'm thinking, lady, I've been taking pictures the whole show. Where were you? Because they said to us at the beginning, no flash photography allowed. So I'm like, all right, whip the flash off. I'll take a couple snaps here and there. They suck from that far away, but it's proof that I was there.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, and then she came up. Oh, Jordan, I think Jordan's going to call racism on this. I feel like that's where he's going right now.
I feel like between the Ridge Runner and you knowing when I'm going to throw the racism flag, we're on another level.
We're on a Jedi mind meld right now.
Yeah. Other podcasts are like, you know, like, oh, ego this, oh, I'm an insider that, and we're just like, racism flag. We know when to throw it. I just want to start calling into podcasts and be like, does your bro know what your beard smells like? Don't think so.
Beards on MMA once a week. Click.
We smell each other's beards.
Yep.
All right, right before we bring Michelle on, let's quickly get into Bellator 134, the British Invasion, happening this Friday from Mohegan Sun Arena. There's some interesting fights here.
The British Uprising. That's what we're going to call it.
That's right, yeah. It's no longer the British Invasion. It's kind of like, you know, the British are here.
Skirmish.
Yeah, that's right. Because we lost Michael Page this morning.
Yeah.
And he's now produced by Brent Ward.
You know, and a lot of people online, and I just tweeted, because I'm an asshole, and this wasn't even what I was tweeting about, that, you know, people on the MMA, you know, I love the MMA fans, you know, they really give me a job, but at the same time, they're fucking stupid on the message board. And that was in response to a totally different thread on Sherdog. But it plays here because they're like, Brendan Ward, why the fuck would they move Brendan Ward up to the main card? Well, you idiots, Brendan Ward is a hometown guy, and it's going to be the opening thing. So when Spike TV opens and Brendan Ward is in the cage, the crowd, who's mostly locals to where Brendan Ward is going to be going off their fucking rocker. That's why Brendan Ward is the one that got moved up, because he doesn't suck, and the crowd loves him, and it's a great way to open a show.
No.
We have to worry about imaginary rankings and people who don't buy tickets.
Bellator doesn't have rankings. We just put on dope fights. That's all we care about anymore.
Yeah, just so you guys know, according to Sherdog, Brendan Ward is still fighting Jesse Juarez, so He's doing the double shot for the night. That'll be pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Although, you know, I actually, who is Tandon McCrory fighting? Jason Butcher. That's going to be, because most people wanted Tandon McCrory to move up. They thought he should have been the one to move up. And I understand why Brendan Ward, you know, was moved up to the spot he was. But Tandon McCrory versus Jason Butcher, I don't know if anybody plans on watching the prelims online, but that's going to be a sick fight. Jason Butcher has an amazing, amazing BJJ player. And he's got, you know, mildly heavy hands. He doesn't suck on his feet, but he's definitely awesome on the ground. And we all know that Barncat's not afraid to go to the ground. So that's actually one of the fights that I may, like, I'm not actually scheduled to work that fight, but at the same time, I make the schedule. So I may change it just to work that fight.
This is where we're going to hear Michael Seago, the referee in charge, Matt Marsden.
Yeah.
And you do your little dance. All right, yeah.
Like I'm going to come up with something. I'm just going to stroke my beard or something.
As Cutman Jason Herzog watches on.
You got to be like a special ringside enforcer.
That's right. You can be just like Chuck Norris in Survivor Series 1994 and break Jeff Jarrett's nose.
I remember that. That was crazy. Shit. that reminds me of you guys. Wait. I'm sorry. We're going so off tangent tonight.
Right.
Did you guys see my tweet about pro wrestling the other night? And you guys know I'm a pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
But so I'm sitting at a barbecue and somebody looks over at me and from the new neighborhood, you know, they all know I'm on TV, but they're not entirely sure what the fuck it is, you know what I mean, because they are a little bit older. And he's like, now, you do some kind of wrestling? And I was like, I guess you could say that. And, you know, I'm thinking amateur wrestling, you know, like, you know, college, D1, Olympic, whatever. And he's like, yeah. And then he starts talking to me about WWE. And I was like, this motherfucker thinks I work in pro wrestling. I was like, damn it. I was like, that happens like every damn day. And I was just like, you know, be polite. Don't correct him in front of like all 40 people here. Just roll with it. Because there's another person there that no matter how many times I've told in the neighborhood here that I work in MMA, always thinks I work for boxing. And I'm like, well, it's closer than pro wrestling, but we're still not quite here there yet, guys. We need to have a class, maybe an in-service. Everybody can come over to my house, you know.
But, well, I mean, it looks like the two communities are merging. I've seen more coverage on the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight on MMA sites now than I have like any other sports sites. So
that's going to be a sick fight. Legging. You guys should come to my house for that. You guys should both fly down. AJ's going to be out of town. Yeah, May 2nd. AJ's going to be in Chicago, so we'll have the whole place to ourselves.
debauchery is afoot.
But sorry, Matt, I interrupted your line on B-134 there.
Yeah, no. All I was going to say was that I'm also looking forward to Tandon McCrory and Jason Butcher. And I noticed that, you know, with all the nicknames and things that we've made fun of people over time, Jason Butcher doesn't have a nickname. And I think that he's the only guy in MMA, not James Krause, who could actually use the as his nickname, and it would be pretty appropriate.
Jason the Butcher. I agree.
Yeah.
Shit, I should mention that. I should. You know what? Maybe I can say that to Michael C. and get him to say it anyway.
I'm still hung up on the when it comes to the pro wrestling thing. I remember that, and my cousin made a stupid comment, so I just want to say, shut up, Jericho, idiot. Okay.
And on that note,
on that note, Jericho tunes out, and we've lost half our audience.
He'll still listen.
Hopefully, Jericho and Leo are listening on separate computers in the same house, so we didn't lose everybody.
June. She's coming back in June. Coco's training. He's going to actually train for Pan Ams with Mike Dubois. And
that's awesome.
I was shit talking him pretty heavy, so I'll probably catch an ass whooping for that. But whatever, Jericho, fucker.
All right. I'm going to take a quick look at the main card here. Linton Vassell against Sokaju. Any thoughts on that, Matt?
Sokaju has no chance. That's my opinion on that. Linton Vassell almost, and honestly, in my book, had it, I don't know. I think it was a fluke. I think He was just damn near about to beat Newton. I think if they fought again, he would beat Newton. And Sokaju's just not even near Vassell's level right now, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Sokaju. He's actually a really dope guy, but I mean, no, so no disrespect to him in any way, but Vassell's gonna fucking wreck him.
It's a different point in each guy's career too, right? I mean, Sokaju's only 30, mm-hmm. but it almost feels like he's on the downswing. He hasn't really, you know, beaten a lot of guys that he should have over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, how long has it been since he was in the UFC now? 7 years? 8 years? Something like that?
Yeah, like that. Yeah. And,
yeah.
You know,
and I remember his...
He had, you know, two fights for Bellator now, and you know, while they're both, you know, they weren't mismatches on paper necessarily, they were definitely mismatches. Like, was it Terry DeVinny? Terry DeVinny hadn't fought in, like, 2 years when he fought Sokaju.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and then Malik Mirad. What was Malik's record? Let me think about that. Malik had a lot of experience. I remember that. But he had just no answer. He just wasn't at the level. Like, when I remember when I looked through Malik's background before he fought Sokaju, I was like, oh, not quite sure. It's just the, like, I think Malik is trying to make his name, and I'm not sure this is the right way to do it. You know, that sort of thing. So.
Right. Well, fair enough. I think Vassell's got this one as well. And then we'll move over to King Mo and Czech Congo, which is not really a British invasion. I mean, Czech sort of lives the English channel away from the British invasion, but it was one of those fights where you sort of look and you're like, all right, I can deal with this, but what's going on here, you know?
If I remember correctly, didn't this Mo Congo fight kind of replace Lima, and who was Lima going to fight? You know, Lima busted the...
Lima was going to fight Daly, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. And then Daly got the new opponent in Andre Santos. But yeah, the Mo Czech Congo kind of got brought on because of that knee injury from Lima. So they were like, the British... mildly European invasion, we'll call it. Like, listen, Americans don't know that anything across the ocean isn't the UK, so we'll just fucking go with it.
That's
probably what they're thinking.
That's all one land over there.
Yeah. Is it USA or not? All right, because it doesn't matter otherwise. America.
We know Canada, Mexico, and the European countries over that way.
Yeah. To the right as we look at the map. But Mo and Congo is actually an interesting fight because I feel like Mo is, at this point in his career, I actually think Mo might be a better fighter. I think he's more motivated, at least, than Congo. But at the same time, like, Congo's pretty damn confident. I just read something, I think it was this morning, that he basically was like, when they offered me Mo, I was like, fuck yeah, that's an easy fight. Why wouldn't I fight somebody whose ass I can kick so easily? And, like, I believed him when he said it. He's like, he's going to come up to heavyweight and fight me? Fuck that guy. You know, so
that's,
I'm going to wreck his ass.
That's the one that, I mean, that's tripped me out. That I don't no idea why Mo would go up to heavyweight, but I imagine there's a big paycheck involved, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, Czech isn't, like, the biggest heavyweight. I want to say he usually weighs in, like, mid-230s to 240 or something like that. You know, and Mo, I mean, obviously probably walks around, you know, at like 225 or so. It's not like, you know, gigantic, because neither of them really are going to have to cut for this fight. But I just think Czech's used to being at these upper weights, and he's still probably going to have at least a 20-pound weight advantage, which is, I mean, it's a whole weight division, you know, once you get outside of heavyweight. So, I don't know. I just think it was probably not – if Mo wins – like, it's really going to, like, start sending him back on the upswing, you know, because he's lost a few recently. If he wins this fight, like, it's going to be great for him. I think for Czech Congo, I actually kind of think he was the stupid one, because if he gets beat by – it's almost like Tito and Schlemenko over. You remember that, Jordan, when Tito and Schlemenko were like, yeah. Well, if Schlemenko loses, yeah, he was basically a small, even 185er getting beat by a 205er. But if he beats, you know, so you can't blame him for that. But if he beats Tito, Tito looks like shit.
it's a weird situation. I'm going with Mo. I like him. I'll never forget the rock stars on the cage. Boom. Beer bash to like Stone Cold. Ever since then, I'm like, yep, that's a cool guy.
I mean, I think he's got a damn good chance because, you know, Czech's going to, you know, Czech has a tendency to clinch against the cage and try and kind of get in, you know, I don't want to say a stalling position, but that's the way I feel about it sometimes. And Mo is, I think, is going to out-wrestle him there for sure and, you know, could move to top, stand it back up, keep it on the feet. I think Mo has more of an ability to control that fight than Czech does.
And for the record, I refuse to acknowledge the Rampage-Jackson fight as a loss. He didn't lose that fight.
So, who, Mo?
In my,
oh,
yeah.
Well, no. That's in the Dick Ryden Bjorn era. Yeah.
And then we got the last fight on the card there, unless you guys already talked about it, which is Emmanuel Newton, Liam McGeary. I'm just going to say two words to that sum up my thoughts on the fight. Liam McGeary. I like the guy. I think he's pretty lethal. I don't know what else to say.
You pretty much said it all. I don't give Newton one chance in hell. I hate to be that way, but, you know, I like Newton. I've seen them both fight several times live, and they just – McGeary just has it everywhere. He's just really, really well-rounded, and he really knows how to use his physical tools and his reach. And Newton, I just think he's – with the way he barely got past Vassell, Linton Vassell, I think he's got no chance against McGeary.
I have one word to sum up that fight. Yep.
All right, there we go.
There
so that's Bellator 134 in a nutshell. We now welcome on our guest for the night. After 2-year injury layoff, she returned to Invicta Fighting Championship last fall, and we look forward to seeing more. Welcoming back the all-time leading guest in dropping F-bombs, probably looking to add a few more to that record, we welcome Michelle Old. Michelle, what's up? Thank you for coming back.
What a title to hold.
It was you, it was Mike Biddle, it was Mike Dubois, and I think you might have run circles around them. So congratulations. The trophy's in the mail.
Jesus. That's kind of sad. Darian,
that's right.
Beat it. My son's over here and he's like, congratulations, Mom. Okay, you guys are on the speaker too, so like, great. What a bad influence I am. Go take a shower, child. Do what I say, not what I do. Go. Go.
All right, we're in trouble already.
No, I am. You know what?
The very...
My strength and conditioning class, I got all the girls dropping F-bombs. The guys are just, like, staring because I don't really usually do the strength and conditioning class with the, like, you know, because it runs the same time as pro class. So I'll do it with my instructor on our own thing. But so I jumped in today with everybody, and I usually try not to because of the fact that I can be very abrasive, and I've offended moms and stuff, you know, that are coming to a fighter gym, A, B,
yeah,
not understanding what I'm saying. I do, if there's kids around, of course, not swear. But, you know, I just said something one time. I was like, okay, we got football player teams, and then we have wrestler teams. I'm like, all right, guys, you got to step your game up. And my son was in the group, and my friend's son, who also is running the class, and I'm like, all right, let's see who's stronger or whatever. You guys got to man up right now. And then the mom's like, is she calling my kid a pussy? Like, basically, like, first off, I never used that term. But I was just like, clearly I can't be in public or in any of, like, the classes that have normal people in them because they just don't get it. And it kind of sucks, but at the same time, I don't want to be around that bullshit anyways. So, whatever.
Well,
literally, you know, the people that are around me continuously, they used to be offended. And I'm like, they're like, no, that's just how she is. Like, if she's offending you, that means that she likes you. If she's insulting you, that means that she likes you. I'm like, it's kind of true. If I don't know you, I just won't talk to you. So it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, you know how we are. It's all good. You're basically at home right now. Yeah.
Yeah, you're among friends.
Yeah, exactly.
What I want to know. Hopefully the guy with the newborn what had the time to count how many times I said fuck.
I didn't. Jordan said it was like 86 or something like that, didn't you?
Are you serious?
No.
Oh my god.
I you know what the thing is I don't listen to the show after we record it because I was there. Why do I want to listen to it? But
right.
I went back and listened to the other show we did, and I sound like a complete dork. Like, my voice is weird, and so, like, I sounded horrible. It just sounds weird.
He's been dwelling on this all day. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, he totally has.
Like, since, like, 1 o'clock this afternoon, he's been texting us, like, guys, I really sounded bad. Like, I hate my voice.
It sounds weird.
Don't fucking listen to it. Oh, shit.
Well, I don't. I'm going to...
Well, I think the same thing of my stupid Instagram videos and shit. I'm like, do I really sound like that, you guys? And then I'm filming my child wrestling sometimes, and then I get stupid wrestling mom now, which is something that I really tried to avoid. So then I get excited, the camera goes all askew, and my voice sounds awful, and I just sound like a crazy fucking person, like a white trash hillbilly that smoked a lot or something, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's awful. So I totally get it. I think we all sound like shit to ourselves, so it is.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Yeah, good,
absolutely.
as long as you guys are fucked up too, I'm okay with it.
Oh, absolutely. I've never liked listening to my own voice, so
you don't count, Pro Mad. Cause you're,
all right.
Cause you're, I mean, I listened before and I remember making fun of your voice on the other one where you're like, and so you don't count. This is
oh,
this is our
shit.
Thing.
Ouch.
You have a beautiful beautiful voice.
You know what? When you know, you, Pro Matt, when you came on the show today and you're like, oh, I have a little cold, I don't sound great. I'm like, that's like a motherfucker that cleans his house thick and span. And then when you come over, they're like, oh, sorry, it's so messy. You're like, you know your voice is the shit. Shut the fuck up. You know your voice is good even when you have a cold. Don't play that.
Flag.
We're throwing bullshit on you right now. You sound great.
Right?
You know it.
Thanks, guys.
Driving a Ferrari and be like, I guess we'll have to take my car. Hope it's okay.
Yeah,
it's a fucking Ferrari. Who wouldn't want to ride in a Ferrari?
Somebody.
Anyway, sorry.
You guys are adorable.
Yeah. All right, the question that I'm going to open with for Michelle is it's a very important question in the annals of beers
on
MMA.
I like that we're 12 minutes in and we're just asking the first question.
I'm totally fine with that, by the way.
And I'm hoping that we didn't actually ask her this question last time, and Jordan, stop me if we did, because this is something that's been going on for like 18 months. It's an ongoing feud between us that we want to bring you and a lot of our future guests in. So the question is, in a grueling battle between the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, who would win and why?
The fucking Ninja Turtles, dude.
Ah, thank you.
How is that even like a...
Thank you.
Yes.
Why
is... Fuck you, Pro Matt. Fuck you.
I'm out.
Yeah, he's the only one in the history of anyone that's ever said
whoa.
Power Rangers.
We have a couple other people on Twitter that did say the Power Rangers, okay?
Dumb people.
Oh. Yeah, They think the Power Rangers would win. What good's their opinion?
I think everybody thinks that it's always just got to be like hand-to-hand combat, in which case the Ninja Turtles wipe the floor with the Power Rangers. I mean, there's no contest there.
Donatello would shut their machines down before they ever got a fucking shot off.
I remember when I did the extensive hydraulic or pneumatic breakdown and how Donatello would take out the arms and stuff.
I do remember that. Yeah.
It wouldn't get that far because Raphael would probably go find them in all their fucking mall jobs and take them out before they ever got to their suits. So it wouldn't even matter.
He'd hide their hair scrunchies and freaking glasses, and they'd be like, "What?"
What the fuck?
I mean, the only thing I can see
in, like, a conversation though, because that's not even in like the same like realm of like reality. Honestly, they're like, I don't even know. It's just. Who watches Ninja Turtles and watches the Power Rangers? They're a deeply segregated population of people. Like, it's just not up for debate. And it needs to stop. It just isn't even right. I love the Power Rangers. I didn't let my kids watch the Power Rangers. I thought that shit was weird. creepy. It's not realistic. I don't know why I think the Ninja Turtles is okay, but for whatever
reason,
the
Ninja Turtles is so realistic too, right?
Stuck with me. I grew up with those motherfuckers.
I agree with everything that Michelle just said.
Yes, and I would like to point out that your Power Rangers just got shut down by a Thundercat. Game over.
I didn't give myself that fucking nickname. You guys hear me just flush the toilet?
You can't give yourself your own nickname, though. That's our prior guest, Josh Stampo, the 125 powerhouse gremlin for the UFC, all 4 feet of him. That is the easiest way to piss off Josh Stampo. You could insult his mother, but if he finds out that you gave yourself your own nickname, he will crawl up your ass and take a shit. He does not care. That is his absolute pet peeve.
You can only tell him he gives himself a nickname too. Like, it's such on a douchey level, and it's like, I don't even want to say who it is because he did actually do something really cool lately. But he has the fucking worst nickname. You know, he gave it to himself, and drives me crazy. But I wish I would have rejected that nickname and like waited for another one to come along. But you know, whatever. It's all good.
It's a rad nickname.
I think it is. I think it's an awesome nickname just because, you know, you're an 80s kid. Thundercats was to one of the most, you know, embodying shows of the 80s. I think it's great.
Yeah,
I saw the nickname. I was like, all right,
there are definitely worse nicknames.
Honestly, you should be thankful you got a cool 80s show like Thundercats and, you know, you weren't like Rainbow Bright or some shit. Or like Punky Brewster or something like that, right?
Which
Airwolf.
Airwolf
would have been cool.
Airwolf would be a
Power Ranger name.
Oh, yeah. She could have ended up the Power Ranger. See,
that
would have been horrible.
Touche. Dick. You know that? That's how we go.
Plus, it made for a really, really cool signature T-shirt. Hi, Americana.
It did.
Dude, that shirt is just—it is pretty fucking unreal.
I don't throw this out often, but I would go so far as to say it's hella rad.
Hella rad.
Oh, that's a big compliment coming from.
I started saying that when I moved up to like Northern California, and people don't say it as much down here, but I still say it once in a while. But it's like the lingo up in NorCal.
Yeah, and jacked up.
It takes you 5-10 years.
Jacked up is another thing I heard all the time in NorCal.
Yeah, and then in like the East Coast, it's wicked.
Yeah.
I like that one. So what else is going on?
Well, I was going to ask you, Michelle, how's your dog? Is he okay? I was kind of following this
saga.
Which
one, dude? I'm like 3 deep in these motherfuckers right now.
The one that's
cool.
Got explosive diarrhea currently at your home.
Francisbean, little bitch. Like 5 in the morning, it's storming out, so I thought that, you know, and that's a rare thing. I always keep my windows open. That's just like what I like to do. And even if it's raining, so I just thought it was thunder or something. And then So I'm like, what the fuck? And I get up and I'm like, why? It's not raining right now. So, and then all of a sudden I hear another explosion and it's totally fucking dark. And I turn my little nightstand light on and she's like, because I always keep like my gym bag and my purse and stuff down right by the side of my bed. Like everything's just always right there because I'm a lazy bitch. And she's hiding behind both of them. And right behind her, you can just see just, like, it shot out of her ass like a rocket. And it was just unfucking real. And I knew something was terribly fucking wrong. And you could just, like, the whole room just stunk to high hell. And I was just like, I just think she was sick. And then, I don't know if you guys saw her, she got her fucking head stuck in the ice cream thing. She's been getting into shit lately because I got another dog, a Dogo, and he gets into everything, and she takes on the traits of her brothers, you know what I mean? Like, whatever they're doing, if they're bad habits or good habits, she's just like them. Like, she's just been on one. So I think she's feeling a little better, but then again, after I came home, I went and trained for like 3-4 hours, but I leave the back door open, and I'm not worried about it because we live in fucking the Bible Belt, A. B, B, I got three fucking dogs. So I'm not worried. But don't give anybody my address. Anyway, so I come home, though, and since it's cold and these little motherfuckers are used to this warm-ass weather, apparently she's too good to go outside and shit. So she still kept shitting in the house while I was gone at the gym. So I was just mad. But it's runny, so I know that it's kind of maybe not intentional. I'm trying to be sympathetic here, but fuck me. It's been like I just feel like a maid cleaning up. I'm just in shit all day today. All fucking day.
I saw you post some of the earlier stuff, and then you posted that picture of the head in the ice cream container, and I fucking lost it. Like, I just started laughing out loud. You're like, maybe this is why she has fucking diarrhea. And got her head stuck in there, and I was just like, oh shit. I'm so glad she's on tonight because I have to ask her about this. It's perfect timing.
Dude, it was empty because Alex finished like his wrestling season. Yesterday was the last tournament, and he, like, walked into my room just eating the whole bucket of fucking ice cream, you know, like a typical wrestler. Not even – he didn't even have to cut weight, but he's just been eating really healthy. And I'm like, you have no clue. You have no clue what you've gotten yourself into. Enjoy this now because you don't even know. Like, he skipped one meal, I think, at one time just so we can make sure that he didn't weigh over because one time he was, like, 0.3 over. So he had to go all the way up to 132, and I was like, where was I at? When they weighed you in, all you had to do was take your slinging off and probably take a piss, you would have made weight. That's fucking ridiculous for them to bump you up that high. And, clearly, you know, kids basically run some of these fucking tournaments. Here I am with the F word again. And
you're
so,
at 9, by the way. I am keeping track. You're at 9.
Yeah. Trying to be more diverse with my cuss words, if you haven't noticed. But,
well, you've said shit a lot more. I wasn't keeping track. I should have been. Sorry.
So, yeah, we did, like, okay, you got an oatmeal in the morning and then only a banana for the rest of the day, which is, like, a luxury for anybody else cutting weight. But he came home, he's like, oh,
nope.
My God. I'm dying. Like, shut the hell up. Like, you have no clue. So, yeah, so he did that and then left it. It's me, dummy, and I'm actually leaving. Be good. Bye. So he finished the whole thing of ice cream and then had it in his room in a spoon. Anyway, the typical wrestler's room. They're just messes. I don't know why I love wrestlers so much because they're fucking disgusting.
It's a pretty filthy person to live with. I'll be honest. I regret looking back now. I'm like, oh, man, how did my mom deal with that shit? I wrestled in high school. No, I wrestled in high school for Oakville Senior High. High school, not college, but, you know. And I was, you know, cutting weight and shit. And I was like, I was filthy, though. I stunk all the fucking time. You know what I mean? And, like, I just did. I was gross. And so I feel bad now. At the time, I was like, I didn't give a shit. But
right.
I apologize to my mom 10 years later, you know, for what I put her through.
I gotta say, it's really not that bad because he had a case of ringworm this summer, and it's really like made him step up his hygiene. Even though
good.
He's actually he's a type A kind of kid, but he's all right. But it's just like, you know, he's kind of an extremist. Like one minute, I think he's type A so much that all of a sudden he's just like fuck this shit and just like, you know, goes overboard. Just like, I don't know, a lot of.
I would just like to point out that this is the reason why Michelle is hands down my favorite WMMA-er, is we've had her on for, I don't know how long, and we're talking about kids and dog poopy and wrestling and stuff like that, and it's like, MMA? Yeah, we know she's a badass, so buy her t-shirt.
You know, that throws some people. That's the one reason I appreciate your show, because, like, I think we should go in a circle, and I'll say reasons why we appreciate Michelle and why she makes our show. Sorry, that's my wife's a psychologist. That sounds like something she would have fucking said. But anyway, like, that throws fighters. Sometimes they're just on this, like, autopilot where they just want to talk, yes, I've trained really hard. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm ready for this fucking fight, whatever. And when you ask him, it's like, so what video games, you know, yeah, what video games do you like? They're like, video what? Like,
yeah.
What, huh? And, like, they have to come out of their
stupor.
What
are you talking about?
They answer an actual question. Like, that poor kid with RoboCop that was from Detroit. I think we blew that kid's mind just asking him about a fucking movie, you know?
Yeah, well, Remember, he unfollowed all of us within like a week, so
there
was that too.
Yeah, he was really mad.
I was looking at my Instagram, and I'm like, there's not a lot of like MMA shit even. And I'm in the gym. I got to say right now, not to blow my own wiener, if I had one, I'd probably try. But anyways, that's another story. If I were to put how much I'm training probably more now than I probably ever fucking have, and I'm getting more shredded now, but I just don't put a lot of shit on there because I just feel like it's like kind of like the expected, you know, and it's just kind of, I don't know. Don't people get sick of that? I want to put stuff about my fucking kids and my dog. Because
yeah, put real shit.
Like,
people want to know you.
Enough, yeah, like the seriousness of I'm just constantly, hey, look at me. I just feel like a fucking douchebag. That's, you know, it is. I know that you have to promote fights and shit like that. I don't even have one to promote right now. And even if I did, like, I don't know. I just feel, if it's there, I don't know. It depends on who I'm working for, I guess. But if people are going to allow you to be who you are, then I would take that any day. And then if, you know, a promotion were to sign you and say, this is what we need from you, and they're paying me enough money to do that, then I'd do that, I guess. You know, I'd sell out if it was for enough money, but as of right now, NASA doesn't need to do any of that, and they ain't even putting me any hope of being on a card anytime soon, which is crazy, because I have 3 more fucking fights with them. Like, I know I fucked up, but nobody's perfect. And nor is any promotion, including them, perfect. So, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like we all fuck up. I signed with you. It took a year for you to have me a fight. And I understood and fucking rode with you. Didn't take a fight, waited, and was patient. How come I can't get the same? You know what I mean? So it kind of sucks. I can't even get a fight out of the promotion right now, you know? And so it's like I'm training my ass off for no reason, but it's making me like when – Nick Diaz said you'd have to hate it to love it again. Like, I'm at that point, so it's all good. But it is a little frustrating when it's, like, the only thing that's even, like, on the docket possibly would be with Karina Dam and some fucking Fargo, North Dakota bullshit where they wouldn't drug test her. And clearly this bitch, she shouldn't even be allowed to fight in the U.S. I want to fight her so bad, but they won't test her. And I'm like, how is that even a thing, you know? Like, how are you guys even letting her do that? She's been popped twice and a third time for fake piss, bringing in fake piss.
Wow.
Like, she has a receding fucking hairline. Like, come on.
That's some cool shit.
And that's it. Other than that, anywhere else that's in local, and I'm not saying I'm anybody to be afraid of, but nothing. These girls are like, nope. And I'm like, fuck, man, I can't even like, get. I'm like, oh, trying to pull the whole, you know, snatch, fuck it, I'll take the fight for free, you know, and it's not happening. It's just not. So basically,
that's
I'm doing it right now because I fucking love it, and yeah.
Well, if it's any consolation, I don't blame him. I wouldn't fight you.
I'm coming off a loss, you know what I mean? Like a devastating loss. I couldn't even make weight, which I feel that that's the hugest reason why, you know, it was all a mental thing. I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't make weight. I'm such a fucking loser. You know, I don't even belong there, you know, people fat shit.
Okay,
and I can't believe it. I still can't believe it.
There are two things that, I mean, I imagine nobody wants to bring up because you're a professional fighter. But one thing that drives me absolutely apeshit is when anybody doesn't make weight and the fans get on there and say, oh, I'm so disrespected, she should have or he should have. It's like, shut the fuck up. Nobody did anything to you. Quit being an over-emotional diva. If somebody had and that's what I feel 99% like.
99% of the fan base ever actually tried to cut weight or even fucking skip a meal, they would start screaming about their blood sugar and their conditions, and they would fucking freak out and go to the ER and demand an IV. They don't know what fucking fighters go through, you know.
I feel like if something happens like that, a fighter had a bad day at work. Nothing more, nothing less.
If they could have made weight,
yeah, exactly. It's like they don't if a fighter misses weight, they don't owe the fans shit. They can apologize and they can do the dog and pony show, and that's probably what's expected of them. But for people to get online and say, "Oh, you missed weight," then it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Don't be a
dork. You know, it did fuck with my head, and it's like, but it's a lesson learned because it's never happened to me before. And it was a clearly a medical thing. Everyone knows I've had some thyroid issues before, and it's been 2 years. I didn't do a test weight cut, and that was my fault. And then it was very confusing. When you cut weight and you actually gain, there's a fucking problem. Like, that was weird. Mm-hmm. I was gaining weight, and then they gave me 2 hours. I didn't lose 1 ounce. And they were all there. I have coaches. I got people around me. They're all monitoring me. It's not like I'm sneaking off. I was never by myself. And I did more cut weight for that than I've done in, like, combinations of all my fights before. And it was just, like, you know, my body just went into shock. And it was my fault for not making it, like, something that I was doing prior so that it didn't do that to itself. You know, so it is what it is. And then I fucked myself because I was like, holy shit, if I can't control this, I feel like I can't control my body. I have no control over this fight. I have no control over my life, you know. And then I just shut down and fucking had no adrenaline. I was super calm. I shouldn't have felt that liver shot. Normally I probably wouldn't have. And then I just was like, ow. Oh, shit, that hurt. You know, like, fuck, dude. It's just a bad day. It was a bad day.
That's the other thing. I was working on a job site, and I was carrying wood, and I ran into a metal rod right about my side, my liver area, probably about a tenth of what a liver shot actually is. And I swear to God, I thought I got shot. I dropped down. I'm like, somebody shot me. The Mexican stabbed me. Something is going on. Like, it was, all I remember is
Mexican. When you're talking to me, you guys don't remember that I'm racist. Come on. My other controversial thing, I'm a fat ass that can't make weight, and I'm a fucking Nazi, you know? That's what people think of. When they hate me, those are the two things they bring up.
Well, they're dorks.
I'm just kidding. Kind of.
They wouldn't buy the t-shirt anyway.
People can't take fucking
fuck
jokes,
them.
Dude. Yeah. Fucking lames.
So, if I ever get in a fight, don't pull my beard and don't liver shot me, because holy shit, even scraping my side, I was dying. I knew it. I got
you realize
and everybody
your brother-in-law is listening to this right now, who you just challenged to a fight.
that's not my brother-in-law. That's Coco.
Or your brother.
Cousin.
Your brother. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Your cousin. No.
Yeah. No. Well, we're one of those weird families where it's like your cousins or your aunts and your uncles. Oh shit! I'm gonna sound horrible here. Your cousins are your aunts and uncles, and your cousins are. It's, yeah. I've never claimed a pure bloodline.
Let me rephrase what I just said. You just challenged a family member to a fight, and he's listening to this show. We'll just go with that.
That's fine, because the last time we fought, I choked him out in front of his house, and his mom had to, or in front of my house. We were buying a house. Me and my wife were buying a house, and everybody came over to look at it. And our realtor was there, and then me and him, he's like, oh, I'm a badass. I got a Harley, and he rode down on his Harley. And so he started fucking around and wouldn't knock it off. So me and him got in a brawl in the middle of the street. And the realtor's sitting there yelling, oh, my God, the neighbor.
No, this really happened, Michelle. This actually happened.
Stuff that really happened. If you ever met Jordan, this really happened.
Yeah, so
is this like a house
fucker
on wheels, or is it a real house?
No, okay, it was a real house. We lost the real house when I went crazy. And now we live in a house that has axles, so we can put wheels on it, but you can't move it because it's pre-76. But here in a few years, we're going to buy another actual house. We'll have a house
for Jordan.
You can come over.
Jordan, hasn't Jericho had like 3 years of jiu-jitsu and wrestling since that fight or something like that?
So what? I practice karate in my carport. Whatever. he's pretty badass, and he'll probably take me, but I don't care. I'll hit him with a board or something.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Fuck, I hate you, Jericho. Now I want to fight him now. What up, Jericho, you bitch ass?
I must redeem myself.
Yeah, but I choked him out in our front in the street, and he's like, oh, he was in Afghanistan. He's, oh, I'm in the Army. Oh, yeah, in combat. I was like, whatever. I watched some instructional DVDs one time, and I slapped a choke on him, and he's like, and his mom's like, let him go, and the realtor's like, oh, the neighbors, and my wife's like, Jesus Christ, Jordan.
You know, when I was in the Army, our hand-to-hand combat, now this was back in the late 90s, so whatever, but it was one afternoon of how to do a hip toss, and then we just spent the rest of the afternoon, like, slamming each other in the MRE boxes. So it wasn't exactly anybody that brags about the hand-to-hand training in the Army, at least before the last couple of years, is full of shit. All I learned to do, honestly, was run really fast. You know, now they have Army combatives, but they didn't have that shit back then. It was like, this is how you do a hip toss. All right, fuck it, let's go. And that was it. It was like 10 minutes. So...
He's gonna wreck me. I mean, he's been doing jiu-jitsu for a couple years now, and I'm gonna get destroyed. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm tough, I'll fight him. But on my deathbed, I'm just gonna be like, remember that time I choked your bitch ass out, and then boom, last breath.
I believe that.
So we're sorry to be the guy, but we're running over time here. We should just have like a 3-hour show one day where we bring Michelle back and we just shoot the shit for like 3 hours, because I think we could probably do that. Yeah, we'll just take up all of Michelle's free time.
I feel like she should be my dog.
Like, listen to it though. If we were like, if I were to get real slutty and then like do it on like a face to face term, nobody really like seems to want to listen to these things if they're too long, unless you show some boobs, you know.
Well, we have our.
Sure she'll let me.
We do have our version of that where we got really, really, really drunk one night with Brian Rogers, and all of us were just absolutely fucked up.
I threw up during that show. I actually literally muted my phone and had to throw up during that show. I was so fucked up. Brian Rogers gave the phone to some girl at the bar and had us interview her for 10 minutes because he was too
and I don't,
drunk.
And
going.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all. All I remember was getting up at some point, finding my way up the stairs, falling asleep in front of my Xbox, which I turned on for whatever reason, and then having to crawl to bed at like 8 o'clock. It was a good night.
Was that the show where I was sending you guys pictures of me eating gummy bears in my underwear?
Yep. That was the same.
What show isn't that, though?
Yeah, that's true.
That's why you guys gotta start like doing it like with the video streaming, because that's just fucking awesome.
We've looked into that. I don't know, pro match at Cheapskate. I'm just kidding. We all are. So he's like, hey guys, we should do video streaming, and we're like, how much are you willing to pay for that? And he's like, well, how much are you willing to put in? $0.
Yeah, we do this because like, it's fun. Not to give a shit.
Yeah.
The interweb should be free. Fucking goddamn Jews. Just joking, I love Jews.
I had a funny joke about jiu-jitsu, but I can't remember what it was. It made me giggle.
Joke is already done. It's already right there. It's inherent.
Yeah, it's floating.
All right, so one more on Michelle. Twitter, @MichelleOldMMA. What's your Instagram again?
I forget sometimes. It's like Michelle O 125 or something, or it's Michelle O. I don't know. MMA might be in there somewhere. When I signed in, it took forever. My kids had to help me. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Michelle O 125. Yeah.
There we go.
I should probably do like Michelle Gold or something. I don't know.
So the summary of the actual like 10 seconds we spent talking about MMA is get Michelle a fight.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We are looking, and I'm putting in the work. So it's just a matter of time, and I just have a lot of anger built up, and it's going to be a bad time for somebody. I have to redeem myself.
All right, well, you let us know when you get a fight, and maybe we'll either get you back or...
We'll have you back on. Fuck yeah, we'll back on.
We'll figure something out, yeah.
And say hello bye. To my 14-year-old, by the way, while we're dropping the F-bomb. Hi, Alex.
What's up? Hey.
Is he the one playing with the Legos?
No, it's Darian. Darian's 10. Alex is too cool for Legos. He stares at
Whatever.
His phone. He finger blasts his phone all day long. That's all he does. He wrestles, and that's it. He just watches wrestling videos. That's all he does. He wrestles and watches wrestling. And he's fucking ice cream. All right, guys. It was good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. We'll
reach out to you.
Holy shit. Yeah. I totally understood all of that.
Everybody talk at once. Go.
There was bye, Michelle. Bye. Bye, Michelle. And buy that shit on Americana.
Americana, the Michelle Old t-shirt. Bye.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks.
See you. Bye.
All right, guys, that's Beards on MMA for this week. Yeah, we didn't get to any of the UFC stuff. Let's see. Enjoy UFC this week. We'll probably mention it in passing. I didn't win any money the other night when I should have bet on all the underdogs like everybody should have, and all the sportsbook lost
money. Before we go, did you see the thing I posted in the group chat about all the money everybody was winning? Did you see that? How it fucked over all the online betting sites?
Yes, I literally had a $1 parlay ready to go on all the underdogs just because I was going to do that. I was like, why not? $1 pays out $649,000. And I was like, this is stupid. That's never going to happen.
You could have randomly picked like four or five and probably got like 25 grand. And then you could have got a video chat. Where were you?
I know. I'll let you guys
know. It's the Wheel of Fortune all over again.
Yeah, sorry. It's all a pipe dream now, unfortunately. Anyway. I'll catch you guys next week.
All right.
I know we opened the show talking about Journey with Steve Perry, so let's just close out the show with Journey and Steve Perry.
Perfect.
Took the midnight train going anywhere. is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.